You're on Texas Standard Time.
The great storm of 1900 in Galveston, still the deadliest hurricane on record. A day in Dallas in 1963 when a nation lost its president. A sweltering hot day in 1966 when a shooter went to the top of the UT Tower and committed the first mass murder on a college campus. There have been certain points in our history that have changed not just the way we think of ourselves, the way others see us, what the story of Texas is, basically. And what much of Texas has just endured is certainly on that order of magnitude. Years from now, when we talk about Harvey, when researchers talk about Harvey, how will it be remembered? Well, tomorrow on newsstands, you'll see a striking magazine cover, a Lone Star bobbing in a sea of blue as if waiting to be rescued. It's a special issue of Texas Monthly, which bears a subtitle, Unsinkable, How We Defied Hurricane Harvey. Tim Taliaferro is the magazine's editor-in-chief. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
One of the stories of many that stuck out to me was the voices from the storm. How'd you go about finding these people and identifying, you know, who it is you're going to talk to while the storm is going on, it sounds like?
Yeah, it was a team effort. We put about a dozen people on it, and we broke it into portions of the state because we were trying to tell the whole story of the storm, not just Houston or not just Port A. And so we had people calling, and every time they'd call someone, they'd ask who else they should talk to. And before you knew it, we had about 60 or 70 voices that was the raw material that we were working from.
Some of these stories, I mean, chills. Or were there a couple that stuck out to you?
Yeah, there's two. One, perhaps the most chilling one, is Holly Hartman. She's a journalism teacher in Houston at Memorial High. Mm-hmm. And during the storm, of course, there's no school. So she wants to help. She volunteers to serve as a dispatcher for the Cajun Navy. Of course, all these guys who are
these
coming
are
in to help.
These volunteer boaters that come out into the rescue.
And she gets this call at 3 a.m. from a young boy who sounds desperate. She doesn't quite know what's going on, but come to find out, the boy's brother and cousin were in the backyard near a metal shed, and they were electrocuted. And this kid is on the phone screaming, "What do I do? What do I do? Do I do CPR?" And she can hear the sloshing of the water and the desperation of people screaming. And she's trying to do anything she can. She says, "Yep, please try CPR." Well, come to find out, you know, those kids didn't make it. They couldn't get somebody out there in time. And it wasn't until 12 hours later that they could recover the bodies.
It's just a gut punch when you realize not just the tragedy of this, but that in a way this is just one window, you know, of this tragedy, and furthermore that you find these regular, ordinary folks are just sort of thrust into these situations they never would have imagined finding themselves in the first place.
And it shows some of the poignancy of all this, that she has this feeling that she wants to help, and what does she encounter is this absolutely desperate situation beyond anything that she can address.
There's another that you point to, a gentleman in Victoria, Texas.
Yeah, a chef, a guy named James Cantor. And when the storm starts to really come in, he decides to move his family into his restaurant in Victoria. They literally set up a tent in the restaurant. And as it kind of goes through and blows over, he starts cooking because, well, you're a chef. That's what you do, right?
Right.
First thing he cooks is this giant pot of smoked kimchi and chicken stew because his wife, who's half Korean, that's what her mother used to make.
So it's like comfort food.
It was exactly comfort food. And word starts to get out over time that, you know, this guy is cooking food. And so people from the Victoria Advocate who'd been working around the clock start to show up, and then first responders. And before you know it, he decides to kind of just open up the restaurant.
He's cooking for an entire city, really.
Yeah. He turns on Willie Nelson and says he just wanted to kind of restore a sense of normalcy for everyone in that extraordinary time.
What do you think these stories, I mean, there's been so much coverage. What do you think these stories bring to what we understand and what we know about what happened with Harvey in Texas?
I think we tried to capture both the devastation and the response to that, because you don't want to make it all gloom and doom. There was a lot of that, but there was also a lot of real heroism, and you saw the human spirit really come alive in real ways. And so we tried to capture both of those as a snapshot of this is really what happened during the storm, and this is how it should be remembered.
Tim Taliaferro, editor-in-chief of Texas Monthly. We'll have a link to their coverage at texasstandard.org. Tim, good to see you. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.